But I'll go a step further than that. I believe that God's not only for a household salvation, but I believe God's for a household service. And I can't think of anything greater than to know that you and your family are saved. And right under that, I can't think of anything greater outside of you and your family being saved than to know that you and your family are saved and on your way to heaven, but are serving Jesus on your way. And if you ever want to experience true joy in life and satisfaction that hobbies and habits and jobs and big bank accounts and houses and lands, all those things look great and they are appealing, and there's nothing wrong with having money. I'm not saying that at all. If you don't believe me, give me some, and I'll prove it to you. I'm trying to get some of y'all's faces to move. Some of y'all look like statues this morning. I'm kidding. But if you want to get everything that God has for you, and I mean a true heaven sent. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, and who no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you want to experience one of the greatest gifts God can give you, do everything in your power to. And it is work. It does take effort, but put the time in to pray. Not one of those now I lay me down to sleep, once a week or once every, when you feel like it. Because if you only pray when you feel like it, you ain't going to pray much. If you only read your Bible when you feel like it, you ain't going to read your Bible much. If you only come to church when you feel like it, you ain't going to come to church much. But make it a priority. You know what I found out a long time ago? Brother Billy, you do what you want to do. When you boil it down and throw the excuses out the window, you ultimately do what you want to do. And talk is cheap. People say, "I love the Lord and I love my church," but it's amazing to me how many people talk about how much they love their church, but their life proves that they love their job more. Because if you get a sniffle, oh goodness, you can't come to church. But that same sniffle, and possibly even worse in the morning, some mysterious thing happens and you're just exuded with power and strength and are able to push right through. And so that same mouth that says, "I love the Lord and I love my church," it don't match. It don't match. And it's scriptural. Don't shoot the messenger this morning. Don't get mad at me. If you want to get mad at somebody, and I wouldn't advise this, but Jesus taught this very thing. He said, if you love me, instead of just talking about it, he said, keep my commandments. Prove it. James said, faith without works is dead. Amen. I didn't come to preach on that this morning. I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. I struggled. And Lord willing, tonight, I'm going to be preaching on where we are on God's timetable. And that ain't the title of the message, but that's the thought. And I know I just finished a message about God's description from the Word of God about the last days. I'm not going to continue preaching that. I'm done with that message. I wasn't done, but I'm done as I'm going to be with it. But in regards to Israel, which is what we should look at. I wouldn't look much at America. Now, I love America. I'm an American. I absolutely love this country. I think it's the greatest country on the planet. However, if you want to know where we are on God's time clock and where we are on God's calendar when it comes to the ending of this world, you don't look to America for that. You look to the Jew. You look to Israel. And I'm going to be taking the Word of God, Lord willing, this evening and showing how God, it's amazing all that God said and all that God, all the details. I mean, even naming the countries that will play parts in the end of time, and those nations that God listed in His Word that would surround Israel from the north, from the west, from the east, from the south. Have any of y'all watched the news any? And just noticed how the news media and pundits and generals in the military who don't even claim to know God, they keep using the term Israel is surrounded. They are coming from every side. And that's exactly what God said would happen. And so we're going to look tonight, Lord willing, at that. But this morning, in the few minutes that we have, I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Nahum, chapter 1. Nahum, chapter number 1. If you can't find that, go to the New Testament, Matthew, and just back up a few pages, and you'll see the book of Malachi, and then you'll keep going, Zechariah and Habakkuk, and then you'll see Nahum nestled right in between that and Micah. And so, Nahum, chapter number 1 in your Bible. And while you're turning, I do want to say again, thank you for. I thought I said thank you several times, and I know I did personally, but my wife got on to me and she said, did you not thank the church for Pastor Appreciation Day for the cookies and the food and the cards and all that, and the generous gift that the church give, and I thought I did, but if I didn't, I apologize, and I want to say from the depths of my heart, thank you for that. It was a true blessing. We had a great day on Pastor Appreciation Day, so thank you. Nahum chapter number 1. While you're turning, I still hear pages turning. While you're turning, let me ask you for a favor, and I plead with you to help me pray. Brian's daddy, I've mentioned this several times already, but Howard Rochester is in the hospital. We've been up to see him several times. Brian and Mandy just got back. They've been up there this morning, and he has taken a pretty bad turn for the worse, and they moved him to ICU, and he's, I won't go into details. Don't know if I have permission to do that, but if you would, please pray for Howard and for Brian's mom, and pray for Brian and his family, if you would. They need the Lord to intervene. So if you would pray for Howard Rochester, and I'd appreciate it. Nahum chapter number 1. If you're able to stand to your feet, and we will let you stretch your legs just a moment, and as we read the scripture, hadn't it been a blessing to be in the house of God this morning? How many of you enjoyed the Sampson family? I tell you, they just get better every time I hear them. Brother Billy, thank y'all so much for being with us, and we're so glad to have you. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're honored guests, thank you for coming. And we appreciate your presence. We was going to have baptism this morning, but we had an issue with the baptistry, so we'll be doing that soon. And I'll give you, those of you that are getting baptized, the updated information just as soon as I can. Nahum chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. the Bible said, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Boy, everybody will say amen to this next part. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his ways in the whirlwind and in the storm and in the clouds, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Let me pause right there and ask this question. How many of you have ever had God be angry at you? Come on now. Don't make me start calling names and sins. God is furious at sin. You say, why? Why does God get so angry? Because it nailed his son to a tree. And so with Calvary in mind, and with Jesus beaten to a bloody pulp and hanging on Golgotha's cruel tree, let me ask that question again. Have you ever had God be angry at you? Yes. Ain't you glad? Ain't you grateful to the depths of your heart that God is slow to anger? I tell you, what a long-suffering, patient, loving, gracious, merciful God we serve this morning. He would have been righteous and holy and just to have cast us into the lake of fire a long time ago. But because of his goodness and grace, and because he's slow to anger, we're still here this morning. And so I bless his name for that. Then the Bible said in verse 4, he rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Here's our text verse. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. The Bible said the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Now, first of all, I want to say, I thank the Lord that he's good. That verse said the Lord is good. Boy, ain't you glad we serve a good God. And whoever wrote that song, God has been good to me. Boy, I'm telling you, they just sang about the goodness of God. And boy, ain't you glad that the goodness of God is running after you? I mean, listen, no matter how far you run, no matter how fast you run in the opposite direction of God Almighty, ain't you glad that the Bible said goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? I mean, you can be in the deepest, darkest hole of sin. You can be as far as the far country is, and you could have wasted your substance with riotous living and made a mockery and a shame and brought a disgrace upon the name of God, and I mean literally drug his name through the mud, and we're talking about the darling Lamb of God. Now, if you drag my name through the mud, that's one thing. I probably deserve it. But listen to me. We've all hurt our parents. We've all hurt the good name of our parents and our mamas and our daddies and our grandparents, and we've done things in our life that just brought agony and anguish and shame to their good name. But can I say this morning, their good name is not that good. I mean, listen, I love my family. I love my last name. I love my heritage. I love all that. But the Bible still says there's none good. No, not one. Listen, we all have fallen short. But we can't make that accusation against the God of heaven. There's never been a time. There's never been one second that he thought wrong. There's never been a one deed that he done wrong. I mean, God has been perfect and pure and righteous and holy, and never one time did he slip. Never one time did he fall short. He's the God of heaven, and that God is a good, good God. Ain't you glad? And when we were at our worst, he was at his best. When we were unlovable, Brother Billy, he loved us. Amen. You say you got Bible for that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Listen, Brother Billy, when I moved to Augusta, listen, I don't know how much of this you even know, but when me and my wife moved to Augusta, I had been in such a backslidden, I mean, you wouldn't believe the dredges and the depths of sin I had been in. I had hurt not only my wife and my parents and her parents and this church, but I ended up having to leave the town of Paclet just to start over and get away from the chains that bound me. And I moved down there. And one thing Brother Brown taught me, now Brother Brown showed me of what being a Christian was. It wasn't just loving those who were lovable, but when I was at my worst, Brother Brown showed me he loved sinners. He loved wherever you was and whatever shape you were in. He would wrap his arms around you and embrace you and let you know not only is there a God in heaven that loves you, but there is God's children here on earth that should be portraying that same love. And when I was unlovable and had nothing to offer, God put people in my life like Brother Brown and like Brother Travis and many, many other people who said, I'm not looking for anything in return. I want to give you the love of Christ. I want to show you the goodness of my Lord. Had it not been for men like that and women like that and people like that, I would not have made it. And I bless his name. But even the best of men, as you've heard, are men at best, and you can't put men too high up on a pedestal because they too will let you down. But this great God that I just read to you about, I promise you, he is the Lord that is good. And he won't let you down. You hadn't outrun his grace. Amen. You hadn't done too bad wrong. You ain't been gone too long that God will not embrace you. You remember the story of the prodigal? Ain't you glad? The Bible said when his son came, the Bible said, and no man gave unto him. Which is hey, mamas and daddies, can I help you? Can I give you some pastoral advice this morning? You know, it'll be a hard day in your life. It'll break your heart and you'll weep yourself to sleep. But it'll be a wonderful day in your life and in the life of your children who will cuss you and get mad at you, and they'll storm and step out on you and say how stingy and how rotten and terrible of a human being, and you call yourself a Christian and you won't help me when I need it the most. I remember the day when I called my mama and I said, Mama, it's 19 or 20 degrees outside and Jenny's pregnant, almost 9 months pregnant, and her power's out. I said, Mama, can you loan me the money to pay my power bill? And I heard a sob on the other end of the phone. She said, not anymore. I can't give you anymore. I promise the Lord. Because what I've given you has propped you up and been a crutch to you to go out and get deeper and deeper in sin. And I promise the Lord, I couldn't give you anymore. I said, but Mama, she's pregnant. It ain't me. And she stood her ground. And I remember hanging the phone up so mad. And looking through the eyes of sin, thinking how stingy of a mama could she be. But Brother Billy, I remember. God, it wasn't long after that. Matter of fact, I was at Brother Maccabee's and Brother Brown come to preach revival over there, and he walked all, he didn't know me from Adam, and he walked all the way, I was so back, so he walked all the way to the back of Brother Maccabee's church and walked like this inside my pew. I was the only one back there, and got them big blue blazing eyes and sat down in my lap and yes, grabbed sir. Me and said, come home, go home. And he wasn't talking about my house, he was talking about coming home to the Lord. And I remember it started with her saying, I can't give you any more. No man gave unto me. And the very next words in your King James Bible said, and he came to himself. And he arose and he began rehearsing what he would say to his daddy. And he made that long journey back. By the way, can I say this? When you've been out on God and you've been backslid on God and it took you weeks and months and possibly longer to get to the far country, this ain't the Wizard of Oz. You don't just click your heels three times and pop back up at home. However long it took you to get there to the far country, it's that many miles back. I know that ain't possible. I didn't say God wouldn't forgive you immediately. But God don't erase the geography. God makes you make that long haul back. And I remember walking back and turning back just like the prodigal. And my whole point saying all that was, do you know what the Bible said about that prodigal son's father? The Bible said when he was yet a great way off, his father was looking. No telling how many days and how many evenings he sat on the edge of his porch just looking, wondering if this would be the day. I wonder if this will be the day, day in and day out, week in and week out. Months went by. No telling how long it went by when that father had a broken heart, and no telling how many puddles of tears he had set on the porch and wept over that boy that was living in sin and wasting all of his substance and living a riotous life and making a mockery of his daddy and making a mockery of his daddy's God. And then that day, as he was sitting there like he had so many times before, ain't you glad we serve a God who's faithful to sit on the porch of heaven and pierce out through the sky and look down your way, even when you live in a debauchery life, even when you're deep in sin? He keeps looking for you. He keeps waiting for you. He keeps praying for you. And he's still saying, come. Come home. Come home. You've been gone too long. Come home. And the Bible said, when he was a great way off, his daddy lit out off that porch. And he didn't walk. He didn't say, well, you've been gone so long, you coming to me. You can make it all the way back to my house because you... No. The Bible said he ran. And he didn't just run out there to scold him. There's a time and a place for scolding. There's a time and a place for rebuke. But the Bible says reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all what? Long suffering. And that father ran to him. And you know what the Bible said? He fell on his neck. He embraced him. He kissed him. No wonder the Holy Ghost had Nahum write, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knows you. Have you ever been saved? And I'm sure in a crowd this size, there's some people who ain't never been saved. Oh, yeah, you might have religion. You might know the lingo and the jargon. And you may have prayed a prayer. You may even cried tears. But can I remind you of this? Judas, the Bible said, Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, the one who knew the lingo better than anybody else, the one who had everybody fooled. He was so good at it when Jesus sat at the table with him, when Jesus sat at the table with the disciples, and he said, tonight, one of you that dips his hand and sups with me, one of you will betray me. And before the other disciples looked at Judas and said, oh, yeah, we knew it. We knew it. It's got to be him. Before they doubted Judas, they doubted their own salvation. They said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? So Judas had the life down pat. And can I say this to you quickly this morning? You may have the life figured out, but it ain't about a life lived. It's about a love relationship that you have with Him. You say, but preacher, I cried. I went down to an altar and prayed and cried. You know what the Bible said about Judas? He went out and wept bitterly. Tears don't get you into heaven. Praying don't get you into heaven. Joining a church don't get you to heaven. Getting baptized don't get you to heaven. You know when that prodigal, you know when he really got right and really got his sins forgiven? It was when he agreed with his father about who he was and what he was, and he understood. And he had done rehearsed it, and he said, Daddy, no longer am I worthy to be called your son. I'll be a hired servant. I don't even have to come live in the house. You let me tell you what I see a lot of times these days. People get out and sin, and they go make a mockery of God, and they just make a mess of their life, and they want to pop up one day at church and say, ta-da, here I am. Forgive me. Here I am. Life's back to normal. Can I say to you, if that's your attitude, you're nowhere near ready to get right with God. He said, but I thought He was a loving God. You just read He's a good God. He is, but He ain't a fool. God knows your thoughts are far off. God knows that little trick and that little game you've been playing. And listen to me. You know, you remember that publican and that man that they were sitting there, that Pharisee, and they were praying at the church house, and one of them said, "Oh God," and he had those eloquent words, and he talked about this and that and the other, but then that other one, he just bowed his head, ashamed. He said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I'm simply saying this. I remember how it felt, Brother Jeff, when I'd been out in sin. Oh, I felt like I could never walk and don the doors of a church again. I didn't expect anybody to forgive me. I felt so dirty and nasty and unclean. And I knew God was good. I knew the Lord was good. But honestly, I thought I'd done so bad wrong, and there was not an ounce of me expecting God like I deserved His forgiveness. No, I bowed my head. I said, "Oh God, You don't have to forgive me. Lord, You don't have to cleanse me. I sure don't deserve it. If You never speak to me again, if You never speak to me again, I'm okay with that because I deserve it." And it's God who said that he's inclined to those who's got a broken and contrite spirit. Those who will agree with God, just like that prodigal. Those who will say, oh God, Father, just make me a hired servant. You ain't got to bring me in the house, Lord. Father, you ain't got to clean me. God, you ain't got to put a ring on my finger and shoes on my feet. Lord, Father, just let me go out there and work for you. That's the broken and contrite spirit. And when we'll come to God like that, he'll say, I'll let you work for me, but it'll be as a son, not as a servant. And he'll robe you in his righteousness, and he'll clean you up, and he will feed you, and he'll say, kill the fatted calf, and he will restore you, and he'll even restore the years that the cankerworm had eaten. I'm telling you, God's better. God's so good. You say, but I've wasted so much of my life, and I've wasted so much of my time, and surely God can't help me and can't use me. I'm telling you, it amazes me. I never dreamed I'd open a Bible again and preach. I never dreamed that I'd be able to work for God again. I was just happy to be forgiven and have my sins. I mean, to be clean. And then God said, I will use you. I will let you back into my house. I will robe you and clothe you and clean you, and then I'll let you work for me. You know why I said all that? Because that verse says, the Lord is good. There ain't none of that in my notes, and I could care less about my notes this morning. I'm sharing with you my heart that there's a God in heaven. And that ain't just black letters on a white page in my Bible. I'm telling you, I believe every word in this Bible. But when it says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. That's true, Miss Joe, because God said it was. But it's also true because I've experienced it. When I needed him the most, when the bottom had fallen out of my life and I'd made such a mess of my life, I thought it was not fixable. I thought my marriage is gone. The two children I had, one was a newborn. And these two wasn't even born. And I thought, I've lost my children. I've lost my marriage. I've lost my testimony. I've hurt everybody. And the Holy Ghost put a verse in my Bible that said, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. I was going to preach this morning not on that part of the verse. I was going to skim read that and preach on the last part. And I was going to preach on the subject, trusting Jesus when our world's falling apart. Because the last part of that verse said, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And I'll get to that message down the road. But you know, in closing, you know, I want to leave you with this morning. We make a big deal about how we ought to pray, and we ought to pray. And we make a big deal about how we ought to praise the Lord, and we ought to praise the Lord. And we make a big deal about how we ought to read the pages of the Word of God, and we should. Can I say this to you? I've spent most of the morning talking about how I can trust Jesus, and he's so good to me that I should trust Jesus. He's never given me a reason not to. But can I say this? I was going to deal with this from the dead opposite end. Not only do I need to know that I can trust Jesus, But I believe that Jesus needs to know that I trust Him, even when my world's falling apart. Because, listen to me, it's easy to trust when your life's all together. It ain't hard to trust when your bills are paid. Brian, it ain't hard to trust when your daddy's got a good report. But when he's in the shape he's in, oh, it's so hard. But I'm here to tell you, Brian and me and anybody else, I promise you, God ain't never done you wrong. And He wants you to know. And He wants to know whether or not you're going to trust Him, even when the bottom falls out. When your world's falling apart. Job said this, and I'm done. Though he slay me, yet will I follow. Job said, I looked this way and I couldn't find him. I looked this way and he wasn't there. But I trust him so much. I may not know where he's at in all this, but Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. In other words, I trust him even when I can't see him. I trust him even when I can't feel him. I trust him even when I can't hear him. And God needs to know you love him more and you trust him more than just when he's being good to you. Just when he's taking care of your bills or giving or healing the cancer or restoring your marriage. God wants to know that you trust him even when your world's falling apart. And can I say, you can. I said I was done, but I got to make this last statement. Jesus proved this. Do you remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane? And the Bible said he was in such anguish and agony, he got down to pray, and the Bible said that his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way around it, rather than me, who knew no sin, looking in this cup, becoming sin. If there's any way around that, Lord, if it'll stop right there, that'd have been a hint or a sense of a lack of trust. Jesus thinking, I know best. But you know Jesus couldn't sin and wouldn't sin. And he said, if it be possible, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. If Jesus, staring sin, knowing he's about to become sin, knowing he's about to bear our sin, could say, nevertheless, thy will, I trust you, Lord. As bad as this is going to hurt, as bad as the nails and the thorns and all that physical anguish is going to hurt, far more than the physical, the mental and the emotional. The fact that for the first time and throughout all the animals of time, you're going to turn your back on me, Father. You're going to forsake me. Can't that be another way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, help us this morning. Whatever you're facing, however bad it looks, I promise you, you can trust Jesus. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, oh God, for those that are battling doubt. God, for those that are battling discouragement. God, for those who may be battling their own sin and their own sinful nature, never truly been saved. And God, they're trying to live something that they're not. They're trying to be somebody that they're not yet. I pray, oh God, this would be the day that they would quit trusting in a prayer, quit trusting in a process, quit trusting in religion, quit trusting in church. And for the first time in their life, they would say to you, not my will, but thy will be done. Because you're a good God, you're a stronghold in a day of trouble. If you're lost this morning, I promise you, there ain't a deeper hole of trouble than the one you're in. Turn to Christ this morning. Talk to Jesus this morning. Call on Him while He may be found. And just simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I agree with You about who I am, what I am. I repent of my sin. Come into my heart and save me. Because I know You're a good God. You're a stronghold in a day of trouble. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around.